Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know that the truth of the word is expressed in song. Your psalms, Lord, and something you gave divine inspiration to, as Brother Branham used the song that Luke Rader wrote, and we have changed it a bit to here because we realize that you are here in the form of the pillar of fire leading us into the millennium. We appreciate that. We just ask you tonight to make it all the more real, Lord, until this becomes our entire life, even as you said in your word, I would your hot or cold. Lord, we pray tonight it shall be hot, O God, fervent, in order to please you, because that is why we are here. Illuminate our faith as never before, Lord, and take us in higher heavenly place than ever before. We might glorify and praise your name, because it is of grace and truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're here at number 20. And we should be finishing quite soon in this message as God changed his mind about his word. Now, from this sermon, it is very evident that the prophet is warning us that the word of God can never be changed any more than God himself can change. And of course, we realize the basis for that is Rhema Logos, that there is nothing that God ever expressed either by a literal word that was written out or by an actual expression, a manifestation that wasn't within him. And so therefore, it would be utterly impossible for God to ever change his mind or to actually change his word. He would actually then change himself, as Brother Branham said. Now, why people feel, this is what I think, that why people feel that God can and does change his mind may well be laid to a misunderstanding of grace. Brother Branham will talk about that just a little bit. And since grace denies works and rests solely on faith, the majority of people could have the idea that this faith does not rest on inflexible word or is the product of immutability. Anybody that has an idea that God can change his mind or God could be forced to change his mind does not have an appropriate understanding of faith, because the word of God is absolutely inflexible, and the product, faith, because faith is a product, is based upon immutability. So therefore, if there were a flexibility or the word of God could be passed over or changed, where would your faith be? You see, it becomes a paradox. It becomes actually utter folly. It appears that most believe that the shed blood and the intercession of Jesus obviates all rigid attendance by God upon his word, and consequently we can be ambivalent. Also, for after not, is not God love? Is he not good? Is he not forgiving? That's true. But where would you find any of these things we mentioned outside of the word? Then what if the word should change? Where would you then be? Even your ambivalence would be worse than ambivalent. It'd be like Brother Bosworth said, if you must doubt, doubt your doubts. Never doubt your faith, because your doubts are unreliable. The point is, when he said that, he himself was admitting to the immutability of the word, and the word being absolutely inflexible. Now, people then thinking that they can be ambivalent. This is a terrible fallacy. First, if the word had not been violated beginning in Eden by Eve and then Adam, there would be no necessity for shed blood. So what you're looking at then is the very principle in the Garden of Eden that the word itself could not be changed. Nothing could be altered. The word had to stand there inviolate, immutable, inexorable. So if the word could have been changed, it would not have necessitated the shedding of blood, the giving of the life. And we'll perhaps bring out something about that on Good Friday. Could God have let the if people were right in their assumption, then God could have let the whole thing just pass by, bypassing the word. See, he couldn't do it. He had to back up his word, which he said his word would not return unto him void. No way could he allow that. For the word is precisely given. There's no ambivalence about it. It's given by God, and it must be met and fulfilled so that there would be no way that the Word of God would ever be voided. That's what happened, of course, when Jesus was here. He said, you messed everything up by voiding my Word, and you put another word there. That's number one. The number two, if that same living, unchanging Word were not violated even today, we would have no need of an intercessor, and there would be no judgment or even what you might call not just chastisement, but correction. There would be no need for correction. Why would there be a need for correction if you could bypass the Word and the Word just didn't have to be rigidly viewed and fulfilled by God and us where it is incumbent upon us? Where would you have any correction necessary? The Word itself then could not be corrected, because by the time you wanted some type of correction, the Word could have changed. So there's no way. It's just like it said, what is it, Micah said concerning the fact of a pen of steel on a tablet of stone or like flint. Now, from these two facts, let us just see a principle accepted by the majority that can only destroy them. And it is this: supposing I have a wrong revelation or understanding of the Word, or I reject certain scripture as the basis of misunderstood or misappropriated grace, where do I stand? Now, that's what you're looking at. See, this is the pretty well the crux of the matter, and I hope you're following what I'm reading to you, because I could not ever rewrite this. It had to come at a certain time in a certain way, and that's how it is. Now, suppose I have a wrong revelation or understanding of the Word. Perhaps I misunderstand the Word. Or, on the other hand, I reject certain scripture on the basis of misunderstood or misappropriated grace. Well, yeah, I've got grace. Hallelujah. See what I'm saying? All right. Where do I stand? You stand completely severed from God, because grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. There is no such thing as grace apart from truth or truth apart from grace. Now, you could say the truth can be apart from grace, but thank God it is not. But you see, when you begin throwing out truth, there isn't any grace. See, you go right back to the garden to see the inexorable, combative spirit of the Word. As they said, the truth goes marching on. There's nothing that will stop truth. That's actually what we read in John 3, and this is a condemnation. When the fact is that God gave Christ that the world might not be condemned, but the world might be saved through Him believing on Him. And they said, now then, if that's the case, where is their condemnation? If there isn't any condemnation, how come there is condemnation? He said, that's what you're missing. See, this is a condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And we know the evil deed was Cain misappropriating the Word of Almighty God, believing he could discern and know the things of God apart from a revelation. Even in the face of vindicated revelation, he went right ahead. So therefore, even though the truth stood there, there wasn't any grace because he rejected the truth. And you notice the Bible says they turned the truth of God into a lie. And again, the Bible says holding back the truth. So that everything actually depends upon the truth, as to Jesus himself having said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father except by me, who is the truth and the life. So if anybody then tries to appropriate life apart from truth, what are you going to do? You're going to end up absolutely disgraced. So where do you stand apart from God? Now, we then stand without grace and without Christ. because we have become our own interpreters or prophets. We make the word what we want to make it rather than what it actually is. Now, from what I've just said, you can see why Brother Branham, in our message from this last week, places a great deal of stress upon the fact that women typing the church, we'll get into that more, refuse to let their hair remain long, they cut it. They find lots of excuses. The wind, you know, the ends have been burnt by the permanence, and I can whack it off and this and that. Hey, you can't do that. It's impossible. You just simply can't do it. And, of course, slacks and shorts, and Brother Branham placed them right with Balaam. And Balaam was the purveyor and the precursor, religiously, for fornication and adultery, which signifies idolatry. And that's where Brother Branham said Methodist Baptist witchcraft. All right, these women cannot believe that the Scripture concerning these two commandments of dress and hair can exist in the face of grace. Now, you think I'm wrong, you are a fruitcake. I'm just waiting for the squirrels to pack you off. As they did at our place, they found a cake with nuts on it. They ate through the screen and packed the cake as far as they could pack it. So I'm being very nice to you, whether you know it or not. See? I see what I read a while ago, and I'm reading again to you. These women cannot believe that these are two commandments that must be obeyed because they say, ha, just a minute now. What's that got to do with grace? You see where the reasoning is? Oh, grace takes care of everything. Everything what? Well, does it really matter? Well, then you might as well say there's no God. You'll be all right. There's no devil. That's okay. You can be perverts. Well, that's okay. Ordained women, homosexuals, and men. You see where you go? One word off. It forms a chain reaction until the whole thing is in conflagration. These women cannot believe the Scripture concerning these two commandments, hair and dress, can exist or have any priority or any place in the face of grace. It is as though grace denies the word. And then the commandments of dress and hair are up for argument or rejection because they're deemed simply picayune or very minor and foolish in the light of the great doctrines of Christ, particularly his love that he died for all and now stands there to keep everyone saved. How foolish. How utterly stupid. Not one word can be changed. All word must be fulfilled. And you notice that the Seventh-day Adventists try to tell you that Jesus fulfilled all the law so they don't have to wash pots and pans and all, but he didn't fulfill the moral law. Why do you think Jesus died? Over pots and pans? No, he died over the sins of morality, the Ten Commandments. Because every sacrifice and everything you do is contingent to the Ten Commandments. Starting with the love of God, which there isn't any love outside of a true revelation. See, well, I love God and believe in the Trinity. Love God and believe in two gods or this, that, the other thing. The Bible says you're a liar. So people don't like that. But listen, you got to call a spade a spade. See, look, many people are going to be there at the white throne. Now, the people that actually, many years ago, saw Brother Branham, turned him down. Pentecostal, Methodist, Baptist, he went to India in the face of a Mount Carmel showdown, turned him down. Now, millions will rise in the judgment at the white throne, where nothing can be hidden. As much as people like to hide, remember, you cannot hide. You will try to excuse yourself, but you won't be able to lie. Remember, many will come in that day and say, have we not cast out devils in thy name and prophesied? He said, absolutely. They make excuses, but they can't lie because there's no way you can lie before God. We saw that in the prophet when he stood right there and anybody come in front of him and tried to pull something on him, it was over. Now that's just a preview of a preview of a preview. In other words, an infinitesimal amount of discernment that shall be at the white throne. Now God will say to those men, He said, now all the multitudes, how come you didn't accept my prophet? I never even heard him. Well, how come our leaders didn't tell us? Now, see, they're looking for excuses. But you can't give an excuse to God, because they'll say, well, now, just a minute, he say, would you have believed those men if they told you about the prophet? They say, yes, we would have. See, cut them right in their line there. No, they wouldn't believe it. There's no way they're going to believe him. So there's no need for those men to tell them about a prophet. See, they're, that's why that everybody's condemned on that day. Now, not one word can be changed. All word must be fulfilled. And these two commandments can only be fulfilled in women who are obedient to grace, because grace forgives based on the word, then helps the people to live right, again based on the word. So we're going to go back now, because I don't want to spend too much time on this, and we go back to paragraph 166 on page 33, and listen, obedience to his word is better than sacrifice. You remember that time when Saul came back. He had a word that he was to kill all the Gibeonites, to get rid of them. And he brought back some of the intelligence or whatever they were, and he brought back all the cattle and oxen and those things. And Paul then had to take up the sword and kill Agag himself. And he said, Saul, he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. And Saul would not listen. Now, Brother Branham then goes right back to Balaam. Now watch, Balaam had a gift of faith and could have used it to the perfect original word of God. Now, Brother Branham right here is placing Balaam with the fivefold ministry. Because a prophet does not use a gift of faith. No way. Because a prophet is a prophet above these gifts. You don't have to have a gift of faith to be a prophet. You are a prophet. You're born that. So it doesn't require your faith. What faith did Moses have when God revealed himself to Moses? Nothing at all. Moses was vindicated. God vindicated himself to Moses. Then Moses was vindicated to the people, and the word of God came forth. Now you notice I read last week in Romans the 12th chapter, and here it is right here. And he said here, then having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now the grace that is given tells you that alongside of God's word, he is giving you, therefore, that which aligns you perfectly with God's word. Now, if you turn down God's word and grace aligns you perfectly with that word, where is your alignment? See? Where are your loyalties? You understand what I'm saying? All right, this man had a gift of faith. Then having gifts differing according to faith that is given us, whether prophesied, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. See, now the greater your faith is, the greater the gifts will be coming forth. Like gift of miracles, that's gift. That has to do with faith. But what Moses had did not have to do with faith. God put his words in his mouth, period. And when God said, stand upon the sea and raise your hands now, that didn't require any faith. No faith at all was required. They just go and did it. Why? Because he knew positively that God was going to do something. He was already inured now, and he got there. He was moving in God's program. This man wasn't. This man used the prophetic utterance on the grounds of faith, and he said, if I've got faith to bless, I've got faith to curse. And he got plumb off the word, because only God can kill and make alive, and only God can bless and God can curse. So you see, he was plumb outside of his element. Now watch.
Balaam had a gift of faith and could have used it to the perfect original Word of God. What were they doing in the first church? The book of 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, tells you categorically here, 34th verse, that all the women, let your women keep silence in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it's a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, even lesbians are preaching in the Lutheran church, I guess, in different churches. Oh, God. What came the Word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual. Men with gifts. Now, if you think that you are a prophet, and you've got a gift that makes you a fivefold ministry prophet, and you are bringing forth prophecy, or you're spiritual and you're using a gift and bringing forth a prophecy, you cannot go beyond that word. You're stuck. Now, you can seek a permissive will, which means the Word of God is up for grabs, as it was right back in Eden. Now, God says there's a tree of life, and there's a tree of evil, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, he said, you can have the one, but not the other. She had an option, and she took the wrong one. That's where Brother Brown speaks of free moral agency. And we've got the same thing. We can either take the Word of God or leave the Word of God. Now, how's any woman going to be obedient to the Word of God, not to cut her hair, not to wear these dresses and things the way she ought not to, unless, first of all, she believes in that Word? Now, the people say, I believe in the Word, but, you know, I just don't seem to have what it takes to do anything about it. Well, you see, you're just kind of screwed up in your thinking anyway. It's too bad, but you don't believe the Word, really. That's a pretense. Now, many men listen, he's talking about Balaam and prophesying. Now, he's going to talk about a gift of healing. Many men on the field today with gifts of healing could do the same thing. The gift they have brings forth the gift of healing. But they're still subject to the prophet. But like Balaam, they supersede the prophet of this hour, like Balaam superseded Moses. Huh? You understand what I'm telling you? You can use your gift of faith to use these gifts. And though people don't know what I say, gifts can mess you up, I'm telling you, gifts can mess you up. Because when you use your faith and they're operative, you think you've got the world by the tail on a downhill pole. That's why people think speaking in tongues is an evidence of the Holy Ghost. Hogwash. It's a gift. No evidence at all. It's a product. It's a creation. It is a force, a manifestation, as it were, of something that this Holy Spirit can do. I know enough of speaking in tongues of people who had nothing on the ball at all. Came out of delirium speaking in tongues and spoke a perfect language. You say, what was that, God or devil? How do I know? But it sure wasn't any evidence the man had anything. And that's what you're to look at. Not fumble the issue and ask a lot of vain and stupid questions, but look the thing straight in the face. Say, that's not an evidence. The evidence is believing the Word for the hour. Many men on the field could do the same thing. Many men out there are here, people speaking in tongues, prophesying a gift, could use it for the kingdom of God, but they don't do it. That's why Brother Branham put the church in order. And God blesses them anyhow. What does he mean by that? They keep on using the gifts. And don't tell me good doesn't come from it. Because many will come in that day and say, Lord, have we not cast out devils? Have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not healed the sick? Have we not raised the dead? Have we not so and so? Yes, you certainly did. No problem. Then what's it all about? You wouldn't listen to the Word. Where the Word is vindicated not by signs following, but to know it is the Word by the signs previous to it. Coming in, thus saith the Lord. But you can't get people to see that. They're not going to see it, so I've only blessed you tonight when I talk this way is on the grounds I want you to be so confirmed you can't turn any way but to it. I don't care about the rest of the people out there. Who gives two bits? I'm not sent. I wasn't sent to them. Teachers are not sent to the world. No fivefold minister is sent to the world outside of the fact an evangelist comes by and throws the net. We say, what's it done then? The people in the church go to the world and talk to the world and bring them in. That's how it's done. I never heard anything of a shepherd ever having little baby lambs. It's a sheep. Not that the shepherd's not a sheep too, in the sight of God. God blesses them anyhow. Gets the permissive will. But for popularity and pleasure and personal gain, sold their birthrights as Esau did, sold out to an organization, sold out like Balaam did. Now he brings in Esau there, but really, I think it would have been better if he was just left Esau out. The point is, he's saying that these guys are just like Esau on the grounds that their God doesn't love them. He sure didn't love Balaam either. So they're doing so. So many are doing the same thing today. We know that's right. They sell out their birthright. Women profess. Now what? Professing the Holy Ghost wearing shorts. Men permitting them in the pulpit. Bob hair women in the pulpit. Paint on their faces. Religious gowns on. It's the biggest stumbling block the church ever had. Now the word stumbling block is the interesting one because Balaam is the one that brought the stumbling block. Then what do these women do with the paint on their face and their dresses? They bring in whoredoms. As Brother Branham said, your mother, your grandmother's a flapper and your mother's a whore. Man, that's a sizzler. You know, that's the truth. So I think Brother Branham was just more less over emphatic. The veil might be, but not the prophet. Let's get a plan. To see where some of you women escape from. It's not very flattering. I didn't intend to be flattering. There's no flattery involved here. It's a complete statement of truth. That's all. Now, in Romans, the first chapter, you can read the whole first chapter yourself and get in the second chapter. And there you'll see the whole perfect picture. I won't have time to read it now, but you read the whole chapter in chapter 2, 1 to 60 and get it. Okay, let's go, 168. If you want to know in political powers what time it is in the kingdom age, see where the Jews are. Watch how the Jews are, because they're a nation. If you want to know where the nations are standing, watch the Jews. If you want to watch the morals among women, because she's a representation of the church. When you see the pollution among the women, you find the pollution in the church. When she becomes a painted-up Jezebel, just exactly what the church has become. All right, now notice in here, he's talking about Balaam, and he's talking about Jezebel. He's not talking about Ahab. Ahab is the geezer that mixed idolatry, paganism, into religion. The true religion of Israel. He brought the priest in. Ethbaal was his father-in-law. All right, you've got what Brother Branham is saying here now. He's talking about Jezebel, and he said these women are literally represented. If Jezebel represents the church of this hour, a painted-faced woman who is married, the daughter of a priest, and she's married to a man that's in authority. And he talked about Jackie Kennedy and Jack Kennedy. That was fine in that day. But getting down closer to home here, we want you to notice here, when speaking of Balaam, he's talking about the hour in which we are living. So we're going to go back to what we looked at before, and there's three places I want to look at. I know there's likely another place too, but maybe a fourth place. But in Peter, the second chapter, you'll notice it says you're having verse 15, 2 Peter, 2 chapter, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now, you notice in here that Balaam could not go astray unless, first of all, there was a right way. If there is no road map or there's no ways anywhere, you can't go astray. Now, he went astray on the very grounds that he knew Moses was in the country and he knew Israel was God's chosen. In other words, there was indication by vindication that this man knew or had the opportunity to consort with and know the truth. Instead of wondering and coming to Moses, he turned right aside on his own. Now, that's Pentecost today in the churches, so you're looking at it. All right, now listen to me. Where does this all come from concerning Balaam? It says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damned heresies, even denying the Lord, saying no to the Lord, that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. What does it mean to deny the Lord? It's there. It is in the pillar of fire. Say absolutely no to God. There it is in the other picture. To stand right there and say, absolutely no, I won't take it. Now then, what do these people do? They rise up and they teach according to their gift ministries, which they operate by faith. In other words, they're doing it all. In other words, just like the devil, because there is no power that is not of God, they're deliberately using the power of God contrary to God's own word, and God allows it. So I don't understand it. Well, as simple as ABC, why hasn't God struck every one of you down, and me included, in the pulpit by this evening from what we've done from this morning? Yeah. Because not one of us lives and breathes apart from God. In Him we live and move and have our being. All things were made by Him, and all things are maintained by Him. So tell me which one of us ought to be living tonight. Not one. Not even a try. So this fellow here, by the dynamism of faith which he had, he left the word to practice gifts. And used the authority and power of the word, which was demonstrated by the original true prophet. And he began to run with it. See? Okay. That's this fellow here. Having forsaken the right way. Now this man comes out of Hebrews 6. Now we read this many, many times. It's perhaps one of my favorites because Brother Branham made it so clear. It's impossible for those who are once for all enlightened, taste the heavenly gift, partake the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, the power of the world to come, having fallen away. No more repentance. They literally saw manifested and indulged in what was there at that hour. And they fell for the manifestation instead of what should come out of the manifestation, which was the Word. So I can do that too. I got this. I can do that. And they boast themselves in their gifts and turn down the one vindication that God brought for the people. All right, let's go a little further. Let's go over here to the book of Jude. And the book of Jude, it tells you about this fellow Balaam. And it says, warn to them. That's the same to the people. They're called natural brute beasts. Brute beasts, they corrupt themselves. Peter said the same. He warned them. 11th verse. They've gone the way of Cain, ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for a reward, and perished in the gainsayings of Korah. Now you tell me anybody that can make more money than a bunch of Pentecostals, either using a genuine gift or using a phony proposition with the people. Or Roberts with the gift healing took them millions and millions and millions until he turned more and more away from the Word, and he turned more away from the Word. The Bible distinctly says God will close His ears to those men who turn their hearing away from the Word. So God will not esteem their prayers. Or Roberts today he's hardly got the weight spiritually to lift up a cigarette paper, let alone a package of cigarettes which he could have lifted years ago. He's out there begging like a bum, losing everything. Those guys who wait till Chilton get his, and he was just as phony as a $3 bill he never even had a gift. They're all going down the tubes. See? Look what they've done. Their error is in money. They want a lot of money. Okay, let's go back here again to the book of Revelation. And it tells you again about Balaam. This is the third church age. Pergamos. That's a tough, tough age. That's where they really went lock, stock, and barrel into idolatry. I know thy works, number 13 verse, where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling stone before the children of Israel. Now, what's he telling you there? He's telling you here, success at any price. It's okay to tell lies. It's okay to do anything. Because why? Well, you know, it's all a matter of grace. And after all, doesn't the church have power? Doesn't have this, doesn't have that? In other words, he puts the word of God to one side. It doesn't matter. A stumbling block. Idolatry. All those things go with it right in there. Now, you notice that Jezebel, it represents the church. She's a type there. What is this? This is organization and its headship. And so if organization says, this is our little black book, this is our doctrine, that's the way it is. And it'd be nothing but blasphemy. Now, that's the truth, and you know that. See, if you want to know where the church is, watch the morals among your women. Because the church is the woman. If you want to know the national status, watch the Jews. 169. Notice, as God said to Balaam after he'd heard the true cut decision word, don't go. Yes, then he told him after he had seen it in his heart what he was to do, he gave him his permissive will. So he said, go. Now the point is, why did God tell him to go? He was going to go anyway. You say, why didn't God cut him down? God wasn't interested in cutting him down. He didn't want to cut him down. Why didn't God stop the devil interviewing Jesus and tempting him? He didn't want it. Being what he was, he had to stand back. And he stood back. And you know what happened? He knew it was in Balaam's heart. And as soon as Balaam got down there amongst the Israelites, it was evident what was in their hearts. Now, would you like to leave here tonight and go to a whoremongering preacher's church that believes in so-called polygamy? He doesn't practice it. He just lives with them. He's not married because the law of the land demands you get married to live together. He says, I don't believe I got to obey the law. I believe God's law. You're a liar. I'll take you to Scripture and show you obey the laws of this land. Yes, sir. Don't fool me in the Word of God. Don't just get married. There's a law in the land that says certain things. It's about time they put a law in truth that everybody gets tested for BD. And I mean AIDS. Oh, no, that's a breach of privacy. Is it? Well, you're going to affect me hogwash. Don't give me that stuff that you're above the law, you're above this, and you're above that. My Bible tells you every law in this land, everything, God's over it. And not only over it, he knows what it is, and he is the one that definitely not just knew about it, but predestined according to the records. You watch my language, too, in there, too. I said it a certain special way. Because these things are in their records. They are not in the book of life. It was written concerning them. And there isn't one law that's not a God. There isn't one law in the land that's on those books that wasn't meant to be right, but any crooked, rotten law, and anybody can turn them right around. All right, we're looking at the truth here. What we see in the Word of God. Now he says here, he taught Balaam to cast a stumbling block through the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So all right, you've got a pretty tough situation there. You've got a stumbling block, you've got sacrificed eating wrong things and committing fornication. So what was the stumbling block? The stumbling block was the fact that here was a man who had faith to operate a gift. Now, what stumbled everybody right in this hour? Gifts. Was it the gifts themselves? No, it's the guys with the faith. But where did they get that faith? God allowed that gift of faith the same as he allowed Adam and Eve, their organs of procreation, and said, now watch it. Blunt language, but it's the truth. Free moral agency, so-called, by Brother Rand. They turned it down. They went to permissive will. When you talk about permissive will, well, first of all, look at this. God saw Balaam's heart, and he saw the hearts of the people. He let him go down there, and the hearts of the people that wanted to follow in adultery and fornication, they got a man over them that gave them what they wanted. So, okay, Rose and Lee, don't feel too bad about the bunch you lost. If I had them in here, I'd want to lose them too. In fact, I'd tell them to get out. See, we narrow it down. You may think that's rough, but it's the truth. Brother Brand said, there's one thing, gross immorality. If anybody's got that around here, there's no table. There's no place at the table for you if you're in it. I don't care who you are. I said, well, I believe in multiples. You do? You multiple sin. Good. Out. Yeah, you keep the place clean. You don't let the bars down so the goats get in. You let the bars down, what happens? The goats come in and shove the sheep out. Forget it. We've got a word, bless God, and God stands behind his word just the same as that word was shown. God was for that word who gave the word in our hour by that prophet. So we've got no problems as long as we just stand to it. In other words, now God says here, he said, don't go, but he saw his heart. He was going to go, so therefore God did not change his mind. It was a matter of Balaam, who didn't believe in the first place, and God letting him go was simply a matter of geography. Because Balaam would have tried to curse Israel without even going down there. So God said, go on down and try. See what happens. Ain't going to work. Anymore's going to work up here. Funny thing how people think, if I could just leave this and go there, I'd be a better Christian. Oh, gosh, you'd be worse than ever. Yeah, you can do the same thing. If you don't want to walk in the truth, you can go and have a great ministry. That's what he said right there. You don't have to walk in the truth and have a great ministry. Why? Because the word said it. The desires of the heart of man, what's in the word here, and it is in the word, by a perverted understanding, can reach out by the faith that God has given and allowed. You go ahead and you operate in those realms. Just go ahead and do it. Because you got the ability. You can have a great ministry, certainly can. But you're taking his permissive will, the option. You're walking over his word. He'll prosper you, certainly. Just like he did Balaam. Balaam was a success, but he couldn't curse that people. Yeah, he couldn't curse them. And you know what? He knew stinking well he wasn't one of them. And he thought he could get rid of them. He said, let me clear the decks and I'll have it all to myself. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how many decks anybody tries to clean, and that's the devil himself. They cannot have it all to themselves because God is sovereign. He was a success, but he couldn't curse that people. He couldn't do it. Because every time he started to curse, he blessed. See, he couldn't do it. But when he came to being prosperous in his achievement, he taught those people through Balak to commit adultery. Now, that is physical and it's idolatry. He brought in the camp of Israel and married them off. That's it. That's what Paul said. Either joined to a heart that is one flesh. Take that back to the original, where it tells you, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and they two shall become one flesh. So now they got themselves one flesh by adultery. That ought to make some boys smarten up and older men begin to worry about the fact they had adulterous affairs. How many women you got out there that God says they've left an impress upon you and you upon them? Not just a good thing to keep out of adultery and fornication. It's a smart thing. It's a spiritual thing. Not saying you can't be saved. Never said that. But notice what you're looking at. He brought in the camp of Israel and married them off. Why we're all one? Why you worship the same God? We got a prophet. Notice how he justifies himself. You got a prophet down there. And we have the same sacrifices. The same Jehovah as our fathers. Now why not come and associate with us? The Bible said, don't join yourself amongst unbelievers. Don't yoke up with them at all. If they don't believe it, stay away from them. See? Come out. Be separate, saith the Lord. I'll receive you. Touch not their unclean things. That's right. Then watch now. They're filth against the word of God and things like that. Stay away from it and don't listen to it. These money-oriented gift ministries, they are as unclean. Even though the healings and miracles and signs are there, they are as unclean as the tables that are desecrated at communion time. The whole thing is a mess. Now, Brother Branham says, touch not their unclean things. That's right. What's the unclean thing? They're filth against the Word of God. What is their filth against the Word of God? Denying, number one, denying that God is behind the vindicated Word. You understand what I said? You don't have to say amen. Let's just go back to 2 Peter again, the second chapter. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. It tells you flat that there's got to be appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ again. And they're going to say no to him. Hebrews the 6th chapter. Then they're going to bring all these teachings in. And that's their filth against the Word of God. And they hold the truth in unrighteousness, which means they know the truth. They turn it down, and they're going to worship God anyway. That's exactly what Balaam did. Headstrong bunch of lunkers, because they had a gift. Now you see why Pentecost is a chaff. There's no Pentecost that's going to make the rapture. How can they? When the chaff gets burned. Burn it into your brain, the Word of God is right. You know, with the day having done all to stand, stand. Because there aren't any more answers. We had them all. You think he's going to appear and appear and appear and appear and appear? Doesn't work that way. They're filth against the Word of God. Stay away from it. And don't listen to it. As Brother Branham said, what fellowship is that man that believes all of the Word have fellowship with the one that only believes part of the Word? Funny thing is, you get the guys that quote that the most are the ones that are doing it, too. Terrible situation. What fellowship is Christ and Belial? 171, and here we find out that Balaam went down there and began to teach the people, and he had an error. And he originated what's called the way of Balaam. How he did it. Taught Balak and the children of Israel to commit adultery. Now watch, and a plague struck the nation of Israel, the people, and 1,000 died in one day. What was that plague? Well, I suppose accelerated AIDS. What do you think he's going to strike if they're committing adultery? Sex organs. Not your eyeballs or your drums. What's apples got to do with pregnancy? Certainly was not an apple she ate. Hey, I don't understand some people's thinking. Just ridiculous. And while they were all there before the altar of God praying, everyone praying and committing adultery, here comes an Israelite man, a Midianite woman, a denomination woman, who went into the tent, right in broad daylight, the priest's son, walked over there and took a javelin and killed them both. Spirit feared both of them right through one spear. And that stayed the wrath of God. You see, that scripture, is that right? See, what's going to happen? God's going to curse the end time union of the church with the world. The whole thing's going to go because it's all going to be one great big mess. By the way, you know, I've been telling for some time how the Marshall Plan saved Europe for the commies. But the real building of the image of the beast has just really started. It started under Bush. And you notice the White House release was positively that now there is no superpower left but America, and everybody now listens to America. Ha ha! That's the lamb that speaks like a dragon. Now with trade going on, what senator was it went out recently down in Carolinas, and he said, we'll send a poster to Japan or something else, he said, with a mushroom cloud showing, he said, made in America, but he said, tested in Japan. Yeah. The cat's out of the bag. There's only one superpower. Let me tell you what, just don't kid yourself. A lot of other folk got the bombs, and America will not get the U.S. the Soviet signs as placed before Gaddafi and some of the other guys get them. Don't worry. Don't worry. Russia still got the bomb. Who's kidding who? All you need is one jerk to get his finger on it. And he doesn't even have to be in the government. Yeah. Now, that's the scripture. What happened? Balaam, he succeeded in weakening Israel. Now, watch how Balaam succeeded. He succeeded based upon a gift that he had faith to exercise, went down there and purported to be the voice of God for that hour, and took the people into a lecherous way, which was idolatry. Money. and sex. So, listen. Some of you are getting up in years. You're not such tiny kids anymore. It's not fair to talk about my age against yours. I realize that. Well, I got 20 years on you, 10, 15, what have you. Just go on back when you were a kid even. Are the conditions today like they were then? Oh, it's all been proven. There always was somebody crying out in every age. Oh, yeah, but not as this age, because this is the age we had that. Yeah. So don't ever get your dates mixed up. Church's been here all the time. What do you think? God's never changed, neither is the devil. Neither are people. But now you see there's a time of the ripening. He succeeded in weakening Israel. What did he do? He weakened their camp. God let him go and weaken their camp. It polluted the whole camp. And when some doctrine starts that's not the Bible truth, it pollutes the whole camp. Now this is a warning that Brother Branham is talking about for our day. And this is like it says in the book of Deuteronomy. This is our strength to stay with this word. Somebody raise up a different idea like Korah and say, well, this, that, and the other thing. I've got a different idea. It brutes the whole camp. And that's what's done the whole church camp today. And that he said, that's right. Not that they're right, he said, but he's telling you the truth. Now, the bride is not with this bunch. She is of one mind, as we find over here in Philippians, the third chapter. And Paul is speaking in verses 15 and 16, and he said that you may be, 15 over this side. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, you that are mature have come to the place of maturity. You see? You're right up there in the truth. Be of one mind. If anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. In other words, there should be a teaching amongst the people in this message where they say the same thing because they believe the same thing. That's why Brother Branham said, just say what I say. Paul said the very same thing. Because what, did the word of God come unto you, or did it just come to you only? All right. Now, the faith, the strength that they had in going over to Canaan's land, as we saw in Deuteronomy, was believing this word. This word is preparatory to getting us in there. As Brother Branham so correctly told us, the angel that came to Brother Branham said, as John the Baptist foreran the first coming of Christ, so your message shall forerun the second. Don't anybody tell you, not even these kids, it was William Branham forerunning. It's not true. Only in a very limited sense. And now, it's impossible because the man is dead. It was John the Baptist, no one but John the Baptist. A man. And he didn't have much of a message. He's just a little bit. A little discernment, showing the people the truth. But at the end time, there is a former reign teaching at the time of the latter reign, when Elijah's spirit will come on this earth, which is the Lord Jesus Christ in a particular special role, and it will be a message. It will not be a man or a ministry, though they are there, it is the message. So never mind William Branham and never mind the great power. Look at what he was bringing, which is the word. Let that be your necessary meat. Now, teaching as he did, Balaam, weakening the whole camp for Kadesh Barnea, the word showdown. When they got to Kadesh Barnea, now watch, then in the weakening of the camp, they came back. Remember, they'd eaten angels' food. They had the word of God. That's Hebrew 6. Every night made manifest. Every night they had food. Every morning they had food. They drank from the rock. They had all seen miracles. They watched Moses and saw his word. They saw his prophets. Saw everything. They were part of it by being there. Then finally, when they listened to this false teacher come in among them and teach wrong, he weakened the camp and prospered it. In other words, wickedness prospered. So by the time it came to Korah never looked back upon this guy that died at Baal Peor. He never looked back and drew a lesson from Balaam. He went right ahead and said, hey, I got a gift too, bless God, Moses, you step aside. That's all I ever saw in Pentecost, with a few jibber-jabber women speaking in tongues of jackass, husbands falling around like idiots. They'd stand up and defy a preacher as though they had something on the ball. That's to say, don't tangle with me unless you can really handle your gun. I'll bring you up here and blow you plumb out of the water. I'm not a fool and a little kid anymore. Get that flat. I say that every now and then to let you know, hey, you're not dealing with somebody now. Back in Pentecost, I stood with the prophet, saw him, what he did, studied with him. I know what I'm talking about. Or I better sit down and shut up. You get yourself somebody else. Do what you want. But you'll need somebody. Because no sheep will make it on their own. So just a minute. Don't you give me just a minute on nothing. God ordained a fivefold ministry. He's got a true one somewhere. He's going to see a people through. And when it means ordained, it means they're commissioned, they're commanded. They better know what they're doing and say the truth. And not stand up for some gain or something else. All right. They'd seen all this, just like I saw it. They listened to a false teacher, weakening the camp and showing where there's prosperity. He might have built a $1 million building. He might have had a great denomination. He might have had a thousand times thousand, done great works and mighty works. He was a prophet. That's all wrong. I mean, that's all right. But as long as it's not with the Word of God, you better stay away from it. God doesn't change His mind. Stay right with His Word, because that's what's going to come out in the end, the Word, word by word. Whosoever shall take away one word from it or add to it, it's got to stay with that word. Now, that's why Brother Branham, when he warned, stay away from that stuff, he was talking to people like you and me, and I remember the Bernice Merrick up in the Buffalo, you know Irene, her sister. They were trying to get her to go to some Pentecostal jockey, to exercise some kind of gift. She had cancer. She said, I'd sooner die than go there. And she died, but she died with the grace and glory of Almighty God. Stay away from that stuff, the prophet said. Then why go to it? Well, maybe I'll take a chance. God's in. I've done laid it out in the line tonight. It's the same the prophet is showing you that they have a gift and thereby exercise, and they've got only one thing in mind, that's to lead you astray. So I brought the bell. I don't believe it. Yeah, see, go on home. He'd just bring a sin in the camp with that kind of stuff. There is no power and authority that is not of God. The devil doesn't have a word of his own. There's nothing that's not of God. Don't you understand the whole thing is not white or black, it is gray. See? It's the perversion that gets people. If you could make it white or black, it has been made white. A little tiny bit in there makes it a gray, a perversion. That's where people are going haywire. Now he said, whosoever shall take add one word, it's got to stay with that word. Now listen closely now. And here we are for today. When the word test came, when they went over and saw the opposition so great, the greatest opposition they'd ever seen, the Amalekites, 10 times their size, they said, we look like grasshoppers. Their fences, their cities are so walled till they can run a chariot around it, 2 chariots at one time, horses abreast running around the top of that wall, kind of like Babylon. Why, their spears are this long, great long spears out there. They're giants. We look like grasshoppers. We can't do it. And 2 men stood on that word, Joshua and Caleb, said, wait a minute. You 2 million people, shut up just a minute. We are more than able to do it, see? We are more than a match for them. What were they basing it on? God said, I've given you the land, it's yours. And there they stood, but the people had gotten married off amongst other things and all kinds of creeds and rituals among them, and just weak, wishy-washy, didn't know which way to turn and what to do. That's right, there come the word test. In other words, Brother Branham is telling you here, if you don't stand with that word, you'll never be a Caleb, you'll never be a Joshua, you'll fall for something and you'll miss it. That's why he said, don't miss it. What is it? Right back to the truth of Paul. If that's what's going to get us there, then don't tell me about missing the great land that's there. Tell me about how to get there and not miss that which gets me there. And I say, that's what Brother Branham was doing when he came back and said, don't miss it. We're resting on the fact we have the revealed word, as which Paul said, God will judge the world by my gospel. He's done it, doing it right today in the judgment. One, you got the two sides. You got Mount Abel and Mount Gerizim. Never has changed. Grace and truth. Grace comes. They're handmaids. You cannot separate them. Now he said, listen, the word test came when they went over and saw the great opposition. Now it tells you right there. That things are going to, that things have appeared in this hour. And things could still appear in this hour, which make us wonder if all we really need is God's vindicated word. Now, someone will come back and say, well, Brother Dale, I agree. What it is some great vindicated promise. And I'm just resting on a promise. Well, I'm not resting on a promise because a promise could be one thing. Now, if you're talking about the message and the whole truth contained in the message, I'll go along with you. But it's so easy for people to get pulled astray and be just like the world church out there. So I say, I'm resting on Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm resting on the fact that he died. Hallelujah. I'm resting on the fact that blood purifies, makes perfect the bride. Hallelujah. You can hallelujah everything the prophets say and miss it. That's true. The thing is, where is your heart concerning it? Now, there's something coming down the road from what Brother Branham said here. We're into it already. And I believe the great thing in the world right here, the big hard thing we're looking at, is the fact the kind of preaching we go for and the kind of thinking we do does not make a great big hip or raw hallelujah spirit amongst us running around and trying to create something when we're trying to simply believe the Word of God and say, God, there's something going to come out of that Word, and it could be that we're looking even at the wrong thing to come out of that Word. The point is, what's going to come out of this word is resurrection and immortality. And those that are standing here are not worried about resurrection. They're worried about immortality. There's only one message going to bring it back, and that's Paul's. Nothing else is going to do it. Because this is that end time where it says you're either going to go to the Antichrist or you're going to go to Christ. You've already seen the spirit of Antichrist, which is the son of perdition. You've seen the spirit of Christ, which is the son of man. You've made your choice. Now, the point is, what was the Son of Man all around? The Son of Man was absolutely to reveal the Father. To give you complete revelation of that Word. The other was to lead you astray. Now, the thing is, right at this end time, are we come to the place where it's insurmountable? This going on in? Are we looking for something else? And see, I simply cannot believe what the Word said, what Brother Branham brought us. Brother Branham said, the opening of those seals, the seven thunders, gave us everything we need to put us in the rapture. Yet people say, well, you've got to do this and God did that and God did the other thing. Now, I know there's a certain works program in the Word of God where you walk in the light. As he in the light and you have fellowship, I understand that. But here's the point. These people could not do any walking because they turned down the revelation. They listened to something else. They listened to a program. They listened to that which was a part of the whole, which was the word that Balaam brought, which had to do with gifts. So, all right, listen closely now. When the word test came, they went over. And they saw the opposition was so great. The greatest opposition, Amalekites, 10 times their size. They looked like grasshoppers, fenced cities, huge walls around them. Spears, great big spears sticking out there. They had weapons of warfare, of course. Israel didn't have any. No, they didn't have any. I guess poor old Joshua had one sword. I don't know where he got it, but... And a couple of Phineas had a spear. They had a couple of things, but they weren't an army. They no way an army any more than Moses went down. He was one man taking over Israel, taking over Egypt. They had their spears, waved, they were giants. And two men stood at the word, Caleb and Joshua. 2 million people. He said, now quiet. We are more than a match for them. In other words, the testimony of the hour is God has given us the millennium. We are going in. People say, well, this, that, and the other thing. He said, no. No. No way. Brother Branham himself said, he said, if one person in that town going to make the rapture and you're one of them, you don't exclude anybody else. I'm the one that's going to make it. Now, yet he grants you permission, permits you a permissive will. In other words, the word is here. Take your choice. God's going to go right on anyway. And when you change your mind this time, there is no changing it back. Brother Branham categorizes, this is the hour of Jubilee. And he said, in the hour of Jubilee, he said, the slave master puts the fellows, the slaves, here to the lobe, to the door. And he said, now, what do you want? You want to stay with me all your life? You want to get free? The guy said, well, I'd sooner stay with you. I'd sooner be a slave. The guy, chup, puts a mark in the ear, and that's it. In other words, Brother Branham said, you'll never hear the word of God again. Absolutely the truth. Hebrews 6. Never. There's no other message. There's nothing else. It's finished. It's all over. People don't want to recognize that. But now you can have your choice. Well, Brother Branham, I do so-and-so. It doesn't bother me. You know, doing the wrong thing. God bless me every day. I sing in the Spirit, dance in the Spirit. You know, Paul said, if you're in the Spirit of Christ, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. That's what he said, yeah. He'll permit it. Go ahead. That's right. But what are you going to do? I wear shorts. I do this. It doesn't bother me. I know my faith is in Christ, not in what I wear. See? You got grace all mixed up. See, what they got is something promiscuous. The Bible said there's something to it. See, what are you doing? What are you doing for it? You make a stumbling block like Balaam did. Did every one of the other women. What will it do to your young girls? See? You have a bunch of Rickettas. That's exactly right. A bunch of little paint-up Jezebels, see? But God will prosper you. You know what they found out in the churches? The percentage of fornicating teenagers in the world is no higher or barely higher than what's in amongst the so-called Christians. So you fathers and mothers, you better start looking into life a little more clearly. You say, where'd you get it, Brother Dale? Just read it the other day in my statistics that I get. I do my share of reading. You know, you got to have demographics up here the same as in the world. You got to go by what's out there. Church is no different. When anybody get the idea? Minister phoned me years ago, Brother Bailey, said, what do you do about sexual problems? They said, all you can do is preach. You can't stand on there, can't go to their homes, you can't crawl under their bed, you can't take them by the hand, you can't take a club, you just preach. Yep. You got to have faith in God. But Brother Branham said right here, those women, and he said the truth, he said, your grandma was a flapper, your mother a prostitute. What did it? Roll them, girlies, roll them. Well, it couldn't be. Why do you think it's in the world here, the rock and roll songs? The church says, well, the thing is this, we'll just put nice words to the rock and roll. Huh. Still rock and roll. It's still the Beatles and Elvis. You know, one time you might say the world is a queer place, but today it's a place for queers. It's a complete mess. They get more money for their sin than the cancer society, the lungs, the heart. And Congress is only too happy to vote them more so they can spread more. And when they do, they'll tell you all the lies in the book. And they say, you can't get it by saliva, you can't get it by this, you can't get it by that, and you're liars. And the truth is not in them. Well, Brother Branham pinned it. He said, they'll be painted up Jezebels. That's religion. Prostitutes bonding themselves, running the show, and God will prosper them. You know, and David stood back one time and he couldn't understand how God could do it. But then he said, suddenly one day God showed me the end of the wicked and the end of the righteous. Now, if we got a picture that Brother Branham painted, the end of the righteous, which only man living could ever paint that picture outside the Apostle Paul, and Brother Branham put the finishing touches on, the portrait's been in painting for 7 solid church ages, and Brother Branham put the final addition to it. If we see that final edition, it doesn't matter what the giants or anything else looks like. We're going in because that's our end. It doesn't matter what's going on there. We're not even interested. The only interest we have is knowing that when we see these things, we lift up our heads and rejoice because our redemption is not only drawing near, it has drawn near. With the opening of those seals and the coming into our presence and we into His presence, even Christ Himself. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You now again for the time You've allotted us, which is a goodly time. By the hours that we get here to study Your Word, to see these things line by line as the prophet taught, going line in line to the Bible, showing the utmost clarity, which indeed it is. And we see, Lord, we're in that very hour of Jezebel, Balaam, Korah. See it right there. No two ways about it. Genuine gifts right down the line. Men who turned away when they had the opportunity. The reason they turned away is just what You said. I never knew You. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You that knew better and wouldn't do it. We see it right in this hour, Lord. I don't believe for one minute that there's anybody going to be absolved in that great day. There'll be excuses. But we know, Lord, the very people that blame the people that didn't tell them anything. If they'd have told them, they would have doubted it anyway. And they'd have kicked the fellow out that told them. He wouldn't have been their authority any longer. Because you're setting your own word, Lord, that they heap to themselves having teachers, having itching ears. And we know not the teacher has itching ears. He's got an itchy mouth. The people got the itching ears. So here it is all before us, Lord. Help us to inculcate it right into our very lives, the warp and woof of our being, until, Lord, there isn't any desire in our hearts, and not even the remotest possibility. We desire anything outside of your word. Make it live to us, O God, we pray, in these very human vessels, because we want to get out of here. Lord, as part of your bride. We don't know 100% we are, but we believe we are on the grounds that we believe this word spoken by the prophet. What a beautiful, wonderful word. We believe it is because we believe it just matches every single word you gave by every other prophet. And this one just came down, Lord, to us, brought to us, to our attention, what is the truth that was already written there. So we thank you for it. Help us during the service at this time as we go to the communion. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In order to facilitate matters, we might rise at this time and the brethren come forward, and those that are going to play, so that we can just read the scripture as we do, like at something, a very short service. And then we can start instantly. And at the same time, the brethren, when you start feet washing, the foot washing service, there's at least six chairs in there, so that means that 12 men can go in there right off the bat and start washing feet in there. Now, there's a ladies' club at the back there. They have ample place to wash feet, of course. All right. Are the brethren in order here? So we're going to be able to start right away. And Paul, of course, is talking here in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And he's talking about the table, Lord, for I have received the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread. Now remember here that Paul is delivering what God delivered to him. That's what William Branham did. And Paul was vindicated. Several places he tells it. Now, and he didn't know anything about this. God gave it right from himself. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft ye drink it in remembrance of me. Now remember, there's going to be blood old and blood with the new, but remember, the life of the comes out of the blood in the New Testament, which it could not do in the old, and comes back upon the believer. Now, 26, for as oft ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. Now there I want you to understand, you are showing the death of the Lord, and at the same time, you know that he is going to come. He that died rose. And he that rose sent forth his own spirit upon us, which one day is going to leave the earth, taking us with him. And then, of course, it's going to be all over. There's no more showing forth of death, because how can there be any death? Because we're immortal. And we come back with him to reign and rule 1,000 years and then progress further. And verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthy shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. There again, I believe there's something telling us that we know what we're doing and why we're doing it. In other words, we do understand absolutely thoroughly and perfectly that Jesus Christ died upon the cross, and we understand perfectly and thoroughly that there is a word that comes with it. It's not just a matter of the shed blood. The blood was shed because of the word. The word was completely fulfilled. Today the word is fulfilled, and we are partaking in the understanding that we are a part of that fulfilled word of God. Now that's a very full mouthful, but it's the truth. And there isn't one of us that should partake of the emblems tonight except we believe that. We believe it. Brother Rand, as I said, you're one person in town makes it, you believe you're that one. Even there's 10,000 people there, you believe. Don't let your faith down. See, all it took was two people like Caleb and Joshua. They stood up against everything. My, their lives are absolutely tremendous. They're men of faith. So let us examine himself and let him drink, eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy eateth and drinketh condemnation or judgment or... And that's greater than correction now. That's not just correction. Not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you. Many sleep. Now you notice many are weak and sickly. It doesn't say you're sick and then you become weak. There's a weakness there. Just like I said, the land is corrupted and the people get full of violence. That's why the world is so violent. There's nothing left in the soil. It's just made people like animals. Vengeful, horrible creatures. Just depraved. No sanity left anymore. Insane. No politician can make a correct decision. The whole thing is gone, gone, gone. Long time gone. You'll never bring it back. God doesn't want it back. See, there's nothing there. So many people are weak because they simply don't discern what was accomplished through him who loved us and gave himself for us, rose again, and then came back to be crucified. You know, they crucify the Son of God on themselves. Now, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, if we would discern this and then look at ourselves in the light of the Scripture, and Paul in 2 Corinthians says the same thing. He said, a man looking in the Word of God, at the end time, you'll see Christ come right out in front of him out of the Scripture. And then he said, if anybody doesn't see that, he said, your eyes are blinded. Satan allowed you to be blinded. So at this end time, we must never forget that in our communion of the elements, in our communion with God and each other, it has to be on the grounds of the truth of Almighty God, which gives us that grace. If we don't have the truth, brother, sister, don't kid yourself. We don't have grace. I'm sorry, but if we got to go to, if we got to die and appear at the white throne, let's at least be honest. Right? You got to be, because you and I aren't going to lie. Oh, no. Brother Branham read me. Listen, I know what white throne's all about. I stood right in front of it. Spirit of God. Bill Branham himself couldn't do it. You couldn't hide if you tried. You couldn't lie if you tried. We don't kid ourselves. It's no place to lie. He said, the God of this world blinded your minds. If there isn't truth, there isn't any grace. And if you are a recipient of grace, you are a recipient of truth. So let's remember that tonight. Let's bow our heads so we can proceed to the service. Heavenly Father, we want to sanctify these elements, these emblems, Lord, from you given us as a memorial to each and every one, Lord. We stand apart amazed at your goodness, that you allow us to do this. And you told us what it was all about, to remember your death until you have come. Now we know that you've already appeared, but we know that the real true second coming has not yet occurred, because at that time, at the incarnation, right at the wedding supper, for all we know, there'll be the two emblems right there laid again. I believe that would be perfectly in order, according to what could be the truth, Lord. And we're looking forward to that great day when we eat and drink with you in the kingdom of Almighty God. Maybe it'll come down to earth. All of these things are going to be there. We appreciate it. But tonight, Lord, we want you to cleanse us of every thought that is contrary to the truth as the prophet brought us, so that we can truly discern the truth, the real body of truth, the real body of Christ, who said he was the truth, and thereby take the emblems in a real spirit of truth and of grace, giving you the glory. And I believe, Lord, that you hear us tonight, because our hearts are truly in tune with what our mouths are saying. We desire this, Lord, we above everything in the world. And we know it's not a matter of anything but a gift. If the sheep, we are sheep, Lord, we hear the voice, we follow it. If we walk in the light as you're in the light, we have fellowship, and the blood cleanses. Let that be our portion, that as we partake, we give you the glory in Jesus' name, amen. The brethren then will start moving. The rest of the folk can start coming from the back as you do normally.